This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, McPherson's sports talk show.
Well, I think at the fair I'd blend in because I spend my summers at my grandparents' farm.
Listen Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Sister Jean, well, she actually had him going out in the second round. You know, her name's Mud there.
According to Jim, is your home for the McPherson Bullpup.
There's a 30, Jace Kinnaman turning on the Jetson inside the 10. Touchdown, Bullpups.
Everything happening in the sports world.
Pass is caught. Diggs, sideline, touchdown. Unbelievable.
And even some things not happening in the sports world.
We're really funny.
Well, I'm really not.
I think you're pretty funny.
Well, that's just because I'm so confused.
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's Jim Joyner and Steve Sell.
Let's do this thing. Another edition of According to Jim right here on 96.7 FM KBBE. Or for those of you listening online, worldwide, at midkansasonline.com. I'm Jim Joyner. And unfortunately, due to a last-second call, a last-second trip to the disabled list, sitting out today is none other than Steve Sell. Now, Steve is a person that doesn't really miss any work for being sick. He's always been a healthy man. And today is almost like a holiday for our very own Steve Sell, as today was his 40th anniversary of moving to McPherson and starting to cover the McPherson High teams as well as McPherson College. So this was a big day for Steve. He was very excited. Then all of a sudden at about 10:30, he walks into my office and goes, "Ooh, starting to feel kind of dizzy. Ooh, I'm just sweating." Get a text from him as he went home to take a little nap and see if he could knock that off. "Oh, I'm just sweating like crazy. Almost blacked out on the way home." So Steve is called in sick for today's According to Jim. Of course, he was working earlier this morning, getting everything ready to go for what is a holiday. The first day of the fall sports season, the first day of the 2018-2019 high school sports season is today, which is always a phenomenal day in our line of work. This will be my sixth season of covering high school sports while not being in high school. While in high school, I would consider myself to be a very big fan. And so I was at a lot of events and have been a part of high school sports for a long time and even did some of the journalistic type of things while in high school. But this is season number six for me, at least of high school football. Steve is starting season number 40. So it's been a lot of fun getting ready for this moment. But now the real fun begins as we get to go around and watch practice for the next 2 weeks. And as Steve mentioned in his Sell on Sports a few moments ago, we are less than 2 weeks away from the fall sports preview at McPherson Stadium on Friday, August 24th. And as of tomorrow, 2 weeks away from the first game broadcast that will be on our air, which will be boys soccer taking on Newton. First football game will be on August 31st as the Bullpups will take on Salina South. But the important thing here today, everything gets underway in the state of Kansas, and for the McPherson High teams, football, boys soccer, volleyball, girls tennis, and then boys and girls cross country. So, kind of six teams, but more like five, as they'll just all go run out together. So this is a very exciting time of year, and it's a little different running the show a little bit solo here today, but we're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to hear a little bit from McPherson coach Chase Pavlovich. We'll also hear a little bit from McPherson college football coach Paul Merkowitz, as they have been very busy for the last week in getting back to practice. They practiced earlier this morning and were in full pads, and so the college team is a week ahead of the high school team in terms of what they can do for practice. The state of Kansas has set some rules and regulations and changed some things throughout high school football. Days one and two, you have to be in helmets only. Three and four, you can be helmets and shoulder pads. And then day five, which would be Friday of this week, is the first day that you can go into full contact. So they're about a week ahead, but we are excited for what is going to be a very fun fall, a very fun time of covering football, covering boys soccer, volleyball, cross country, girls tennis, everything. We're excited to get back into the swing of things because, let's be honest, the summertime is a little bit different around here where Steve plays a lot more golf. We have a lot more time to relax. Come August 28th, really come August 24th, we are in full grind mode for the fall sports season, and that won't really let up until April or May of next year. So a very exciting day is today is the first day of the 2018-2019 sports season. We'll hear a little bit from the coaches after we take a break, but the first thing I wanted to talk about today was the PGA Championship and how fun of an event that was this past weekend. And throughout this entire year, I've watched the golf tournaments a lot closer than I have in the past, where I have been watching almost all of the coverage throughout day one on Thursday, almost all of the coverage day two on Friday, and then you get into Saturday and Sunday, and for the most part, it's been must-watch TV throughout these four majors, thinking back to the Masters back in April, then looking ahead to the U.S. Open in June, the British Open in July, and then culminating this weekend with the PGA Championship. And one of the things that we got to see this weekend is a young rising star that continues to kind of silently become one of golf's best, and that's Brooks Koepka. He's now won three out of the last seven majors. Back-to-back champion of the U.S. Open. Then you take a break off from this past U.S. Open. You get into the British Open. He did not win. It was Francesco Molinari. And so far throughout the first three majors, it had been a different winner every single time. But you got into this weekend, and scores were low at Belrive Country Club over in St. Louis. This was a weekend that a lot of people had opportunities. And when we had Treg Fall in studio last week, that's what he talked about, is that some of these guys that hit the ball a long way are going to have a big chance to win this weekend. And Brooks Koepka has turned into, if he wasn't already before, he's turned into one of the best young golfers in this game. And if you remember back to April, he couldn't play in the Masters because he was coming off of a wrist surgery, and I think he was the only one of the top 50 that did not play at the Masters. And Brooks Koepka was just terrific this past weekend. He won the PGA Championship, minus 16. So he played in three of the majors this year and won two of them. So it's safe to say that Brooks Koepka is on the scene and is a legit champion throughout this field. One of the other things that we saw, I know that this is probably one of the more talked about things throughout the sports world today. And I know that for the last three or four years, as we have been following Tiger Woods and trying to dissect his swing, his putting, his back, if Tiger is ever going to have a chance to get back. And I haven't been a person that has completely believed the hype. I have been sitting back and saying, okay, we'll see what he can do. If you remember back to listening on this show, when we were getting ready for the Masters, Steve Sell was all in on Tiger Woods, and he's saying he's going to have a chance to win a major, and it might happen soon. And I'm sitting here going, Steve, that's crazy, not going to happen. Tiger Woods was phenomenal this weekend. He shot 14 under on the round throughout the tournament, 6 under on Sunday. 6 under on Sunday was the lowest round he's ever had in a major championship Sunday round. And he didn't even win. Tiger Woods was really fun to watch this weekend, and there's something about when that red shirt gets on TV that it is captivating. And unlike anything I've seen throughout golf social media in the last 5 years, this year has been different because of Tiger Woods. And when he's playing well, people are following him. And I get it. People are mad because more people are talking about Brooks Koepka or talking more about Tiger Woods than they are Brooks Koepka, who won this thing. But Tiger has now played in back-to-back majors where he was not only competing on Sunday, he was right there in the middle of it. And Sunday at the PGA Championship, he was leading. So we're seeing a new Tiger Woods. But in a lot of ways, we're seeing what we grew used to seeing with Tiger Woods, and that is wearing that red shirt on Sunday, a big fist pump after a birdie putt on 18. And that birdie putt on 18 also cost me like $200, so thanks, Tiger, as I finished second in my PGA Championship pool. I'm pretty cool with the prize money that I took home, but I would have enjoyed another $200. But that was exciting, wasn't it? You look back to this past weekend, if you were watching golf on Saturday and Sunday, it was so exciting. You didn't know who was going to win. You knew Brooks Koepka was looking good up at the front. Let's say you're just a golf fan from the state of Kansas. You're watching Gary Woodland, a guy who has kind of been a disappointment this season and throughout the first three majors. And Gary Woodland is leading after 2 days. He's playing in the final group with Tiger Woods. It's exciting. You have Justin Thomas, who's the reigning PGA champion, in contention again. And he played well on Sunday, 2 under. You have Francesco Molinari, who has burst out of the scene even a little bit later into his career as a guy that everybody is excited about. He goes 3 under on Sunday, gets back into the mix at 10 under. You see guys like Adam Scott that have kind of gone away for a little bit. Stuart Sink. Young guys like John Rahm. Thomas Peters, my Belgian friend who helped me win a whole lot of money. Thomas Peters, thank you for a great day on Sunday. You have Jordan Spieth, and if not for the traditional Jordan Spieth blow-ups on a couple of holes, he's right in the middle of this thing. So what I'm saying here is golf is fun again. It's become such a fun spectacle. Where the last few years, yeah, you turn the golf tournament on, it might be interesting. You might see Jordan Spieth hole out from a bunker to win. You might see some of that stuff, but it's not quite as interesting as it is when Eldrick is in the mix. If you just get Tiger Woods in the mix, he doesn't have to be winning. He doesn't have to be in fifth. He might not even have to be in 10th. But if he rolls in a birdie putt and he's sitting at 15th place, everybody starts to get excited. They turn on their TVs. And that's what this weekend was. People were getting back into golf. And so I think there might be some purist golf fans out there. Steve's one of them. That he's saying, okay, enough of Tiger. We've seen enough of him. We know enough about him. Let's move on. But what I'm saying is, that's what makes this sport fun again. If only Ricky Fowler had helped me out, it would have been a whole lot more fun. All right, I'm riding solo today as Steve Sell is thrown in the towel, feeling a little sick, a little dizzy. Felt like he was going to black out on the car ride home. So let's take our first break. When we come back, we'll hear from McPherson High football coach Jace Pavlovich as they begin practice today. Now, hopefully this weather will hold off and they'll be able to be outside and not have to find a place to go indoors to get ready. But they begin practice today. We're back after this. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, Next Tech Wireless, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Back on this afternoon's According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE. Jim Joyner here and no Steve Sell. Not quite as funny. We had a fun time with Steve most of the time that we get to play some jokes off of him. Steve gets to call himself dumb. And it's a whole lot more fun when we have Steve here. But he's feeling a little bit under the weather, feeling a little bit sick. But we still have a show. The show always goes on, as we say, in the business. Well, we mentioned it a few minutes ago that we are going to dive into hearing from some of the football coaches throughout the area because it's the first day of high school football. First day of high school sports, but the football team gets underway here this afternoon, and we've got a little audio from McPherson High head football coach Jace Pavlovich from an interview from last week previewing the defensive side of the ball. We've talked a lot about offense, but here's a look at the defensive side of the McPherson Bullpups coming up this year. We talked about the offense a lot, and obviously so many returners coming back. It makes things a little bit easier for you in terms of preparation and getting the offense ready to go. But the defense is a little bit of a different story this year just because you lost so many starters. And I think that on paper, people might be looking at this defensive unit and saying, wow, you lost these two great linebackers in Jace Alexander and Colin Gearing. You lost a great secondary. Mm-hmm. You lose a defensive player of the year caliber guy at defensive end in Wyatt Seidel. But really, there's a lot of really good players coming back. And in the spots that you do return players, they are very talented.
Yeah, you know, First off, we lost a ton of very talented players that have started since they were sophomores. So, you know, we're gonna make some mistakes on the defensive side next year or this year. There's no question. We understand that, but we also understand that it's a growing and learning process through each week. And we have some very talented, very athletic kids. I can remember it goes back to our team camp at Fort Hays. We got matched up with Wichita Heights right off the bat, and our defense was out there, and immediately their offensive line coach came to me, who had played at Pitt State, and we know each other very well. He was a coach at Pitt High for many years, and he just turned to me after the third play and said, "Your defensive line is just eating us up." And I said, "Yeah, we like what we have." So our strength, there's no question, our strength is up front. Which, if you're going to have a strength, that's exactly where you want it. They can take a lot of pressure off of secondary. There may be guys open downfield, but it doesn't really matter if the quarterback's on his back. So our defensive line, we feel very strongly about right now. Linebacking core, we've got so many different kids that are really working for positions that it does increase the level of play. And then in the secondary, we're going to have more two-way guys next year. And on our secondary, we'll be playing some of those receivers on defense in the secondary. And there are also kids that have really impressed us a lot in 7-on-7 that might fit the role very well.
Well, as we kind of break it down position by position, you started off with the defensive line. There are some big dudes on this line. And one guy that I think kind of got put under the radar last year was Cody Steffelbein, because on the opposite of him at the other defensive end spot, you have a guy in Wyatt Seidel who had 16 sacks or whatever it was for him. But Cody Steffelbein was a huge force last year and was a huge part of that defensive push. And I think that him, as he continues to get bigger and stronger, and you see him through basketball, you see him through track, and he just gets bigger every week, he's going to play a really big role on this defense.
Well, he is. He's almost unblockable. He doesn't quite have the killer mentality as much as a Wyatt Seidel did. I'm not sure that I'll ever coach another kid that does have that. You know, Cody will get after it. There's no question. But where I think Cody, if we're going to make a comparison to Wyatt, you know, Cody's athleticism is off the charts. The kid is an incredible basketball player, incredible track athlete. He can do everything. He's a little taller, a little longer in the arms. So he's going to make a great college football player one of these days. He's already on the radar of a lot of teams. And I can remember last year, you know, keep in mind he was a sophomore, but I remember last year Coach Philbeck at Augusta called me and he said, "Wait a minute, I thought you changed Wyatt's number from number 1 to 56. And I said, "Yeah, well, that's a sophomore kid that we have now." So there's a lot of coaches that were confusing Wyatt and Cody last year as a sophomore, which is a great sign for us and for Cody. So this kid is going to make a lot of plays this year, both offensively and defensively.
And Dawson Van Gotham, another guy who is probably going to have to play both ways and will play a little bit of that Wyatt Seidel role, playing at tackle and then playing at defensive end. He continues to get bigger as well. And then you look at the interior part of this defensive line. You've got Khalil Lisbon. You've got Noah Avila. You've got Tanner Pacey. Some of these guys are going to put a big push on every offensive line that you see this year.
And they have so far this summer. There's you know, I've really been impressed with a Tanner Pacey. He's a little smaller kid. He's just under 200 pounds right now, but he plays with great leverage. And we all know what Khalil's capable of doing. You know, last year at this time. Khalil was very athletic, but he weighed 230 pounds, and he really struggled to understand the concepts, really struggled to stay in a ball game because of his because of the physical shape he was in. He reported at 281, and as just as, if not more, athletic, jumped a 30.1 vertical, and he's in pretty good shape right now. So we really expect some incredible things from Khalil this year.
Hopefully all the backups will get out of the way like they did last year and learn to. As we look at the linebacking core, mm-hmm. which for you guys typically is just two guys because you run the 4-2-5, and mm-hmm. kind of that weak side safety is also thrown into this mix.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got some guys that are a little bit unproven in game.
Right.
But they are terrific athletes. And the guy that I think is going to make a big impact and will be able to at least start to fill the shoes of a Jace Alexander or Colin Gearing is Mason Thrash.
No question. Mason, he's not as quick as those guys were, but he's one of those guys when you're timing on a stopwatch in a 20 or a 40, he's not real impressive. But he plays so fast that you don't even notice it. And there are guys on the other end of it that you put a stopwatch on in a 20 or 40, and you're thinking, man, this kid is just going to be amazing, but he plays slow. Mason is a strong, physical, smart kid with an attitude when he gets on the football field that you don't want to mess with. And we're expecting some great things. We don't expect any drop-off from what we've had last year at that Mike Backer position with Mason right there.
And then some other guys that have been working in and are fighting for spots. You throw Keaton Stockham in that mm-hmm. mix, who you've been raving about all summer. Mm-hmm. Bryson Labertue, who is mm-hmm. just a sophomore, might be able to step into a big role there.
Mm-hmm.
I know people might be sitting there thinking, well, you lose those two guys and there's no depth. There might be more depth on it this year than there was last year.
Well, you know, and we have Jonah Clark, who we've kind of messed around with a little bit as a two-tech defensive lineman, like a Michael Mendez, undersized kind of kid. But we think that he's probably going to settle in at linebacker a little bit more. He's another one that we throw into the mix at that Will linebacker position. And I guarantee you, whoever does earn that spot definitely did earn it. And it's going to be a week-to-week situation because I feel comfortable with all three of those guys.
Secondary, you have two guys that are returning that got to play in some really big games. Honesty Whitaker mm-hmm. started throughout almost the entire season, mm-hmm. but then Caleb Hoppus is a guy that another one that just continues to get bigger and bigger and better. And
mm-hmm.
those two anchoring this secondary where the corners are a little bit new,
mm-hmm.
but when you have these two guys that can sure. lock this group down,
sure,
it makes that pass defense extremely good.
Well, Honesty, you know, we call him a strong safety, but he's more like an outside linebacker.
Kind of that Eric Berry type
of
position.
Yeah, he's kind of a flex position. You know, there's talk of moving him inside to one of our inside linebackers. You know, Honesty's another one of those kids going to be a great college football player one of these days, and he's started on and off for the last 2 years for us, and we're expecting some big things from. And Caleb Hoppus, he's a weight room beast. The kid is just he's
gets it from his dad.
Yeah. Actually, you know, I'd say quite the opposite because I went to Ken Galva with his dad. He's the one that beat me out at quarterback, by the way. But no, Caleb, he's just a monster out there, and he's going to do a tremendous job at weak safety. And you know, our corners, there's four guys right there that are all competing with two more that we could throw into the mix. So we got six total guys that are all fighting for that job. And again, when you have competition, that breeds success.
This defense, everybody talked about it last year just because of some of the numbers, and we've mm-hmm. talked about the not giving up a touchdown
mm-hmm.
from the first team defense from week three until the first half against Bueller in week 10.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these numbers might seem hard to replicate.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's not that far out of the question that this defensive unit could be right up there with last year's as mm-hmm. one of the best in school history.
Yeah.
I know those are some high bars here early on, but I'm just not seeing that much of a drop-off.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that we've noticed in summer camp so far, and hopefully we can rectify this fall, is missed tackles. We hardly missed any tackles the last 2 years, really, yeah, on defense. And I know Coach Harlan's going to have them in the right position to make plays all night. That's never in question. But once they are in that position, we've got to do a better job of not missing that tackle. We've been so athletic in the past, and it's not that we're not now, but we've noticed that our missed tackles have gone up through the course of the summer. And that's something that we got to do a better job of this fall to ensure that we do have a chance, statistically speaking, to match up well with the defenses we've had.
And when you have seen this problem throughout the summer and probably mm-hmm. a little bit of last spring and last fall with some of these guys, mm-hmm. does that mean that you're going to be doing a little more hardcore tackling in practice and mm-hmm. live tackling? Because it felt like last year mm-hmm. you guys didn't have to do that all that often. And mm-hmm. it just varies with every team, but will you guys do a little more live tackling?
You know, that remains to be seen. That'll be a week-to-week situation.
But I guess in the first game, if you miss 40 tackles, you might practice a little harder and go
right,
live.
Right. But at the same time, it's been our philosophy here since I've taken over, and really it was the same way with Coach Young, is that we want to keep kids healthy. If you have that constant pounding throughout the course of the week and then you go on a Friday night and expect to be physical, after 5 days of being physical, it's just not going to happen. So my first reaction would be, if we're missing a lot of tackles, then we got to go back to basics and fundamentals and work on technique, because just because you're banging heads doesn't mean that you're going to get things done the right way. So, you know, we always focus on tackling from the bottom up. Our feet wide. Is our base low? Is our head up? You know, certain things like that. And tackling, the old school tackling circuits of the past have changed so much. You know, we have that tackle wheel now that we roll, and then you gator roll is what we call it. So since the game is spread out, there's very rarely a situation where you have a head-on tackle anymore. So one of the things that has really increased our tackling percentage in the past is the gator rolls, as I mentioned before. And it's one of those tackles that basically you roll, you go through their legs, grab their legs, suck them in, and then roll. And mm-hmm. That's a very effective way in an open field tackle situation to get a ball carry.
That was McPherson High football coach Jace Pavlovich, as we had him on last week. Again, we're riding solo. Steve Sell, everybody, wish him the best. He's not feeling too great today, and he's missing out on his 40th anniversary of the day that he first started covering McPherson sports 40 years ago, all the way back in the year. Well, I guess this would be his 40th year, so all the way back in the year 1979. Let's take our final break. We're not going to have time for Coach Merck today, so we will probably get to him tomorrow. But let's take our final break. We'll be back after this. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, Next Tech Wireless, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Wrapping up today's According to Jim, 96.7 FM KBBE. We are running out of time today, as it is the first day of the fall sports season throughout the state of Kansas. A lot of teams were having late night practice last night, kind of like when they do late night at the Fog. I don't know if they have one at K-State or if it's similar to what they do. A lot of midnight practices, but here's my thank you to the McPherson High football coaching staff that you guys do not do that. And I'm sure Steve would say the same thing if he were here today and not having to be out at McPherson Stadium at about 1:30 a.m. So, busy week coming up. We will continue to preview the Kansas City Chiefs' upcoming season. We'll talk about their Friday game where they will be in preseason game number 2 at the Atlanta Falcons. And, of course, we'll have some updates for you throughout the week in regards to practice, because Steve and I will be bouncing around all throughout the day today and checking in on all the McPherson High sports teams. Again, it's football, boys soccer, volleyball, girls tennis, and cross country that all begin today. The school year starts up on Thursday, half day on Thursday, full day on Friday, and then we're officially back. Summer is about to be over. Go get one last swim in at the pool and then get ready for school. I'm a poet. All right, we'll wrap up today's show. Tomorrow, let's hope to have Steve back. Let's hope he's feeling better because, according to Jim, it's not the same without Steve Sell. We'll wrap up today's show. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
According to Jim, with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, was brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, Next Tech Wireless, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE. Well, I guess this is good.